everyone. I'm Jensine Bard, and welcome to Testimony, where truth is told, lives are changed, and hope is given. Revelation 12:11 tells us that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, a testimony of your story for His glory.
From the UK to the USA and beyond, my next guest was originally called to, quote, evangelize Christians, end quote. That is, to rehearse from scriptures that before we were saved, we were much more unsaved than we thought we were. And now that we are saved, we are much more saved than we think we are, end quote. What? Pastor Paris goes on to say, and I quote, "The terms of the new covenant that the Lord Jesus Christ inaugurated in His shed blood takes us from a substandard, carnal Christianity to a level of union of intimacy with our Lord that enables us to be testimonies of Jesus," end quote. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is just some of what we will hear today, in addition to his classic devotional read for men and women entitled Act Like a Man, plus his own incredible story of more than 70 years of ministry when first called to preach at the tender age of 15 until now, 85 years young and still going strong in life and in Christ. Please welcome, a high honor indeed, internationally recognized pastor, preacher, teacher, evangelist, author, mentor, and more, Peter Paris. Pastor Paris, Peter, sir, welcome to Testimony.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. Now, the trouble is, Jensine, I've got to follow that.
Well, you will, and beautifully so. First of all, full disclosure, my husband Dan and I were privileged to have you officiate our wedding in beautiful Rancho Santa Fe at the Rancho Valencia Resort 30 years ago this November with dear friends that our family, Connie and Bill McNally, all of us blessed by your wonderful teaching, preaching, great humor, and more. We thank you and will forever be grateful. That said, let's get right to your amazing story, how you, Peter Paris, came to faith in Jesus Christ, your early beginnings, career, first marriage, and more, and how you came to write Act Like a Man, which we will talk about today. Peter Paris, please tell us your story.
Well, yes, the sort of origins was back in a little place in South London called Peckham, but I had the privilege of being invited along to a Baptist church, and the minister there, Reverend Theo M. Bamba, was a wonderful man of the Holy Spirit, and he was a great teacher. He kept young people like myself engaged as he unfolded what I would say, looking back on his ministry, was the glory of Christ. And he said, in those early years, I spoke to him once, and he said, the hallmarks of a growing Christian is that they grow in their knowledge and love for the person of the Lord Jesus. And that's never left me. It sort of put a goal in front of me in those early years. And so that's where I was from, South London. So I am from the South. And during the course of my early years, I was 12 years at the Baptist Church. And then there was what we come to know as the charismatic movement in London. And I became very interested. I was meeting with Christians who seemed to be much more alive than the environment I was in. And made me hungry for the Lord, And to cut a long story short, I started to attend Westminster Chapel under Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, who added a new dimension of thought, and that was the sovereignty of God, along with so much, of course, we owe to his teaching. And to cut a long story short, because of our time's sake, I was some years at London, at the Westminster Chapel, where on a Friday night we had the doctor speaking, and on a Sunday morning and a Sunday evening. So over the weekend, Friday, Saturday and Sunday, we were able to hear the doctor three times. So we came very close to him and his two daughters and their husbands. And it was another sort of step in a different direction, but always pointing to the Lord. And then came under the influence of a man called Wally North, who was an itinerant preacher, who I would say taught me much more about what it was to live by the Spirit and to live in the Spirit. So all these sort of mentors I was being given by God were giving me much more information, which was able to be translated into experience of the Lord himself. And so that was took me to where, although I was at that time a part-time lecturer at the London College of Printing, I was there full-time as a on the technical staff.
Right.
And that was there for 7 years, and the Lord taught me there that he didn't want me to go to a particular seminary. He wanted me to do much more experimental Christianity in life. And so for 7 years, I was at London College of Printing. And then after 7 years, and that's a whole sort of series of miracles that I could at some point let you know. But the outcome was that I felt in my spirit the Lord calling me to wait on him and to leave my job and serve him and live by the gospel with these sort of provisos that I would let never let my needs be known, because he would take care of me.
Wow.
And I wasn't to take Social Security for unemployment, because he would supply. And that started me on a wonderful sort of quest for knowing God and seeing how miraculously he supplied. And it was all just an amazing sort of discovery of the wonder of God's sovereignty and God's provision. So I don't know whether that sort of gives an introduction. Are there any questions that you wanted to ask, or shall I continue?
Well, it's a beautiful place to take a brief pause so that the listener can know that they are listening to pastor, author, evangelist, internationally renowned teacher, Peter Paris. So absolutely, Pastor Paris, I have a list of questions for you. I'd like to get right into that, and we certainly want you to expound as much or little as you would like. But by the way, your last statement about not taking Social Security and totally trusting God is unheard of. Unbelievable. That is a story that probably deserves an entire half hour or hour just on the miracles of that. But let's get to our next question, if we can. You are a father of three, Teresa,
yes,
Anna, and David, grandfather of 13, and more recently, great-grandfather of 10. One word,
yes.
Wow, question. How did, quote, acting like a man, from your classic Act Like a Man devotional, help you father your own children when woke culture today seeks to do the opposite in minimizing and emasculating men instead of honoring and respecting as God would have it? Your thoughts.
Yes, well, you touch on a very relevant subject. Well, I feel that those daily readings came about because someone collected 3 years of them, and I used to do one a week for our bulletin, and asked me why I don't put them in a book. And I said, well, they're not a theme. They're sort of go from one theme to another. And then they said, well, why don't you make it into a daily readings? So that was sort of, it was over a period of time, during which, of course, I was coming to the end of fathering three children at home, because by the time the book was published, two of them were married, and one of them was finishing off his education at the San Diego State University. That's my son, David. And so, in a sense, their home life, as far as Carl, Brenda at that time, Brenda and I were concerned, they'd emptied the nest. They'd gone. So it really was my sort of upbringing, being mentored by men like Theo Bamba, Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, and Wally North, and a guy called Bryn Jones, and another wonderful man, Ern Baxter, who had sort of put input into me, and I was able to ultimately translate that into living and emphasizing of the truth to the children. The children, the three of them, at an early age, they were around six when they asked me to, my daughter, Teresa, the oldest, when she was six, she asked me if she could be baptized. And then, of course, we had a 9-year gap between the first two. And by the time my daughter Anna was born, and when she was six, she asked me if she could be baptized. And I prayed about it because it was very young. And I felt the Lord gave me that hymn, "And the infant voices shall proclaim their early blessings on his name." Mm-hmm. And so I felt very confident in baptizing her. And then my son David, around five or six, he was always very tender towards the Lord. He asked if he could be baptized. And I remember specifically at one meeting we were having, just praise and worship on a Saturday night, no preaching or anything, just to come and praise and worship. He had a vision of the Lord standing there, and he put his hands up in the air. So he early had this sort of experience. And so I don't know if that answers your question, but the writing of the book really occurred towards the end of their home life with us.
That's fantastic. Ladies and gentlemen, again, you're listening to pastor and author Peter Paris, his latest must-read, Act Like a Man. Which brings me to my next question, Peter, sir, if I may. What does it mean to, quote, act like a man? And what doesn't it mean spiritually, physically, mentally, socially, and, well, every way? Can you expound?
Well, yes, it comes obviously from the quote where the Apostle Paul is telling them to act like men, be strong, and let all that you do be done in love. So that's the scripture, act like a man, act like men, be strong, and let all you do be done in love. And what it's saying there is, this is the time that God wants women to act like men, because what he's saying here is that God asks men to be strong, and but women are also asked to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So there's a sense in which this act like a man is really saying to us all, you can be strengthened to be who God has made you. And if God has made you a man, then the devil will do everything to undermine that and to feminize you. And if you've been created a woman, the enemy is out to destroy your womanhood and make you as masculine as possible. And so you get what is not new at all is the feminizing of men and the masculizing of women. And that's not God's order. And it isn't that a woman is second class or worth anything less. God paid the same price for a woman as he did for a man. And being a woman is some sort of aspect of the divine nature, because he made man, male and female, in his image. So rather than decry, it's a wonderful, beautiful illustration of Christ, the head of the church, and his body, the church, the bride, and a male and a female coming together in union should be a testimony to Christ and the church. And so man has been given the privilege of representing in this figure of a man and a woman, of the head, and the woman represents the church. Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. So that's sort of my take on it. And so I brought up the women with my wife to be girls, and for my son to be a boy. And so I would do things with my son that were malish, not sort of feminine. And right. So I would seek to bring him up in his manhood, as I did my daughters, glorying in their femininity, which was all a gift of God.
Amen and amen. Pastor Paris, in your classic, Great Read, Act Like a Man, for women as well, you have penned 365 devotions, one for every day of the year, rich in content, my view, practical subject matter with scriptural reference, and on practically every topic, just fantastic. And I would add, more relevant now than ever before. That said, of the 365 penned devotions, which three topics stand out as the most needed, yet often less heeded, and why?
Well, yes, very interesting question. It's difficult to answer because the Christian life is such. For instance, I was with a man this morning, and he's got his history with the Lord, and I've got mine. And what is interesting, things that God is doing in him, God isn't doing in me. But things that God is doing in me, he isn't doing in him. So it's difficult to know sort of what are the kingpins. What I would say in answer to your question, and I'm trying to do that as faithfully as possible, is I want the focus to be on a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus that enables us to hear his voice. My sheep hear my voice. And to be led by the Spirit, which is not in any way undermining the Scripture. On the contrary, we've got the Scriptures as a wonderful gift of God. And you can't overstate the need to soak ourselves in the Scriptures. But what is behind my thinking is that there's a substandard Christianity that obtains, which I call a carnal Christianity, which the Lord showed me I was part of. And it was a sort of revelation to me. It was a correction in my spirit. This is many years ago. And the Lord started to sort of show me incrementally. I began to grow in this, that he's much more interested in what he's doing in me than what I can do for him. Mm. And my identity should not be in what I'm doing out there so much as becoming more acquainted with him. So that's life. Jesus gives this short definition of what eternal life is, and it's, this is eternal life. Oh, this is, what is this? This is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. And of course you get Moses, that I may know you, and the Apostle Paul, that I may know him. But Paul, you were taken up into the third heaven, and you saw Jesus face to face. You got the gospel from him. Don't you already know him? But it wasn't sufficient. And that's who God is. You can never sort of know God to the point of, well, I've done that. No. We'll take all eternity. I mean, those angels that say, holy, 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 they don't get fed up with saying that. if we were to sing holy, 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 the hymn, a dozen times, we'd look at each other and sort of say, well, that's enough. But they cry, and the reason they cry holy, holy, holy is God is infinite, and they're having a discovery of God every moment, and it's all wow moments. And that'll be our lot in all eternity. But God introduces us to that now, that we can know him.
How beautiful. Ladies and gentlemen, again, you're listening to internationally acclaimed pastor, author, and teacher, Peter Paris. Pastor Paris, I recall hearing you teach on worship and warfare, and how our, quote, work is our worship, end quote, as unto the Lord, and our vocation, our calling. In other words, correct me if I'm wrong, you don't have to be behind a pulpit to be a, quote, minister of the gospel. We are all called as Christians to be ministers of his grace in fulfilling the Great Commission. Speak to that, if you will, and the power of the Holy Spirit to fulfill whatever call we are given in life and in Christ.
Well, yeah, that's wonderful, Jensine. The fact that we're all called to be a minister of Christ, and we all have a testimony. When I say we all, those who are truly born again of God, born of the Spirit, and of course, what I believe also is not only are we born of the Spirit, but there is what is the Scripture calls the anointing. See, go back to the Lord Jesus. One cannot deny that what the incarnation is about. It's God becoming man. And the Holy Spirit produced Jesus in the womb of Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. So there's no doubt Jesus himself was conceived and birthed by the Holy Spirit. But he lived 30 years as a man in communion with his Father at 12 years of age. He told his parents, we were looking for him for 3 days. Didn't you know I'm about my father's business? So he knew Joseph wasn't his father. He knew his father's business. It was temple business. That's where he was. Anyway, that's as an aside. But at the age of 30, Luke's gospel is very clear in chapter 3 and chapter 4 that when he goes down to be baptized by John the Baptist, the Holy Spirit comes upon him in the form of a dove, and it said he, being 30 years of age, he began his ministry, and it speaks of Jesus being filled with the Holy Spirit and being driven by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness, and there he was tempted of the devil for 40 days and 40 nights he fasts, and Jesus overcomes the devil in this ministry God has given him with what Peter says is his anointing. He anointed Jesus, who went about doing good. And this beginning of miracles Jesus did. So his ministry was the beginning of his miraculous ministry. Wasn't until he was 30. All I'm saying is his birth wasn't his anointing, and his anointing wasn't his birth. And because Christians can be born of the Spirit by the word of God, and be born again of incorruptible seed, And unless you have the Spirit of God, you're none of His. But is that being honest with the Scriptures if you haven't received the Holy Spirit coming upon you? And so the words that are used in Luke's Gospel about Jesus, the Holy Spirit coming upon Him, being filled with the Spirit and going forth in the power of the Spirit, Jesus speaks to His disciples concerning the promise of the Father which they're to receive. And He said this after His resurrection and after He breathed on them. Now, please listen to this. This is the Creator Himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, who spoke the universe into being with a word. He breathed on them and says, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." Now, you've got to be adhering to a system of theology that doesn't believe that, to say that nothing happened or that this was a sign of something that would happen 10 days later. This is the one who they touched his garments and were healed. He spoke the word. He didn't have to be there and they were healed. So all I'm saying is that we can't be born again until the resurrection of Jesus. This is Jesus in his resurrection breathing life by the Spirit into them. And then what happened later was the Holy Spirit fell on them. So this may be controversial to get into. What I would sort of reduce it down to this: whatever your doctrine of whether you receive everything that God has got for you at your conversion, or whether there is an experience of the Holy Spirit coming upon you as separate to being born of the Spirit, what is the outcome? Jesus said this: out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. This he spoke of the Spirit that had not yet been given. And so just to take stock of ourselves, am I flowing like a river? Am I filled with the Holy Spirit? Paul says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Am I filled with the Holy Spirit? Or have I got one foot in Adam and one in Christ? You know, am I in this sort of neither hot nor cold? Am I in this sort of position of neutrality? So I'll stop there for a moment, but I'd like to get back to what I would call the sin of neutrality, because that's sort of heavy on my heart. But
yes.
Have you got anything to say so far?
Well, I would love for you to expound upon that. And then I have a question for you that has to do with what you just shared. And I will just say this quickly, and then you can answer after you share what's on your heart. I have often used the story, Peter Paris, of you sharing as a Baptist preacher how you encountered the baptism of the Holy Spirit for the first time and how that experience changed everything for you. So yes, please go ahead, but I would love for you to expound on that as well.
Well, yes, I was a Christian for 12 years and I was speaking and preaching, and I was being used by the grace of God to bring people to the Lord in conversion. But as I say, the Holy Spirit movement was a charismatic movement was happening in England. I was meeting people that were really alive. And to cut the story short, one night I was in the house on my own, and I'd been seeking the Lord over a period of time. And in my prayer, I was just kneeling down and praying, and the Holy Spirit fell on me. And that was an experience. And it was. It was a literal experience. And I spoke in tongues. I thought, oh, blow, I'm going to speak in tongues. And as a good old Baptist, I didn't even believe in it. And here I was speaking in an unknown language.
Right.
And what changed sort of my outlook from then was I asked God to give me the interpretation, because that's what Paul says, if anyone speaks an unknown tongue,
yes,
let him pray that he may interpret. And sometimes you may not get the interpretation. Sometimes God will give it to you. But the interpretation changed my whole direction of thinking. And it was I knew it was from God influencing my mind and giving me these thoughts in my mind, because I didn't agree with it theologically.
Okay.
This is how it came. The interpretation was, all things are for you. Well, immediately I thought of Jesus saying, that which is not for me is against me. And so I said that. But I said, Lord, isn't there things that are against me? So then I felt the Lord speak clearly into my heart. That which is for you is for you, and that which is against you is for you, because God works all things together for good to those that love God. So, wow, even what's against me is for me. Then please listen to this and understand the trauma that was going through my mind.
Yes.
I felt the Lord say to me, Satan, the devil, is for you. And it was as though he's sort of baiting me. So I said, well, Lord, I know that's not true. He's not for me. He's my enemy. He stands against me.
Right.
And this is what I felt the Lord said. When Satan wants to curse you, it's got to come through me to get to you. And by the time what he has designed gets through me to you, it's a blessing. And then he said this, if God be for you, who can be against you? And so I thought, this is incredible. Even my enemy is for me in the sovereignty of God, that whatever Satan wants to do against me, he's got no, he can't touch me in God. My life is hid with Christ in God.
Right.
And so by the time what he wants to do for me, it comes through God, which of course God's over it all. It's a blessing. It's like Joseph said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And so that changed my whole life. I stood up and I said, from this moment on, God is for me. Everything is for me. And so it changed my whole outlook on whatever I was going to encounter, which I needed that when my wife was going to fall ill with cancer and die. I needed that. Anyway, that's my sort of understanding of it.
That is just fantastic. Ladies and gentlemen, again, you're listening to pastor, author, internationally acclaimed teacher, Peter Paris, on his must-read classic devotional, Act Like a Man. Okay, now, a loaded and three-part question. You dedicate your book, Act Like a Man, in part to your father, Charles E. Paris, who received Christ at the end of his life, and while a, quote, nominal Christian, as you write about, was used by God as an example of, quote, manhood in responsibility, industry, and affection, end quote. Talk about the impact of that on your life, and two, which you've already alluded to earlier, those you credit for your spiritual walk and growth, namely Apostle Ern Baxter, Bryn Jones, and Dr. D. Martin Lloyd-Jones of Westminster Chapel, London, just to name a few. And finally, but certainly not least, you give special acknowledgement to the mother of your children, Brenda Paris, of blessed memory, who passed on to glory in 1995 from breast cancer. Share the value and importance of that childhood love and marriage of 34 years, if you can. And now, second chances with your beloved Carla, in God's faithfulness to always give us his best and in his time. Pastor Paris.
Well, the original part of the question concerning my natural father. Yeah, I thank God that he's sovereign over our families and, you know, where we come from and what's going on all the time. I can look back and see influences that with the Lord, and I never knew him. But I congratulated my father on being a man, acting like a man, in very natural ways, because he wasn't a Christian. We were sort of nominally Church of England, but we never went except for funerals and marriages and christenings. But they used to say their prayers, my mum and dad. Well, at least they told me they didn't. They sent me to Sunday school. But when I came to know the Lord, I knew that they didn't know the Lord like that. They'd never been born again of the Spirit of God. And so it's a lovely story with my dad. So I prayed for him for about 30 years. And my brother called me one day and said, I was in America, and he said, Dad's dying and he's asking for you. Hmm. So to cut a long story short, I went home. And I got down on my knees where I was, and I started to weep because I thought my dad was going to a lost eternity. And as I was weeping, the Lord gave me a poem, and I started to write it down. I say the Lord gave it to me because I couldn't have made this stuff up, but it said, I started to write it down. In the arms of Jesus, rest your weary soul. Life has had its measure. You have found your goal. All the labor of your days, like vapor, disappears. The glory of celestial rays wipes away your tears. The former things have passed away, not you, my darling dad. You have entered endless day. Only we are sad. And I couldn't believe it, because it's really saying he's going to be with the Lord, although his whole life is just like a vapor. But cut a long story short, I got home. My brother took me to the hospital, and it was where I started to preach at the age of 15 in these wards. I thought, I'd preach the gospel to dying people here, and there's my dad dying. Anyway, when my dad saw me, he was the nearest to the nurse's station, so that meant he was the sickest. So he said, Peter boy, he used to call me Peter boy. Peter boy, he said, I want the Lord to be my Lord. Can you believe that?
Wow.
And so I was able to wonderfully lead him to the Lord, and he prayed a wonderful prayer. Anyway, all that to say, he came right at the last to know Jesus as his Savior. So, yeah, that was the influence. He was always on my brother and me to be responsible, to act responsibly, and to act like a man.
Amen and amen. Beautiful, beautiful. Ladies and gentlemen, again, Peter Paris. Peter, in our remaining time here today, aside from getting and reading a copy of your incredible daily devotional, Act Like a Man, available at zulonpress.com. That's xulonpress.com/bookstore. And daily blog devotionals found on your website at peterparis.net. What one word of advice do you deem supreme over all others for living a fulfilling and victorious life in Christ and with each other?
Well, to sum it up briefly, to be led by the Spirit, it categorizes those who are led by the Spirit. These are the sons of God. And God is wanting this heart relationship with us, where, as far as he's concerned, as he said to Jeremiah, I'm in this with my whole heart and my whole soul. And what we're asked to do is to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength. This is no longer an impossibility. It's impossible for the natural man to achieve that. But the Lord, in conversion, if it's true new birth, he purifies our heart, God having purified their hearts by faith, says Peter. And Paul says to Timothy, you make sure your companions are those that call upon the Lord out of a pure heart. This pure heart is a new heart for the new creature of the new covenant. And Paul says, the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts. And so it appears to me that what God is doing, the love that Jesus had for the Father, Jesus said he has for us. The love the Father has for Jesus, Jesus says the Father has for us. And Jesus prayed that the love wherewith you have loved me, Father, may be in them and I in them. And to foster by focusing upon Jesus, by discarding the distractions, for turning off the television and the media that fill us with worldly and carnal thoughts, and we won't get into that, but to go and shut the door on the universe, and shut yourself in with God and understand his love for you, the great love that God has for you. And then from being loved and known, you're loved of God and owned of God and bought of God and purchased, then return from a new purified heart, love for God, and then grow in that. And that you grow in it by getting to know him more, and the more you know him, the more you love him.
Amen and amen. Just a couple more questions. At age 85, with 70 years of ministry in which to reflect, how sweet is it with beautiful and talented wife Carla of 27 years, your family and extended family, and young pastors and their wives that you continue to mentor today, your thoughts, greatest joy, and regrets, if any?
Well, the great joy of my life, of course, in the last 27 years has been my wonderful wife, Carla. She's just a gift of God. It's sort of incredible. I was given three lives, one without God, then one with God, with my first wife, bringing up my children. And then when they were out of the house and my wife went to be with the Lord, God wonderfully introduced me to this gorgeous creature called Carla. And we won't get into the wonder of it and all the joy of it, but Carla has been, as far as I'm concerned, this incredible gift of God to me. And so she is a joy of my life. And of course, I've got my children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, for which I thank God. Life, of course, is not without its problems and difficulties, burdens. You know, we've got friends and loved ones who got great needs. We ourselves are at this moment in a wonderful place, and I'm feeling so physically fit and well, and looking forward in a week or so to going to Greece with my wife and 40 friends from the group that we are identified with here, Four Oaks, and with Pastor Paul Gilbert and his wife and Susan. And we're going to Greece to follow in the footsteps of St. Paul. So we're just rejoicing in the goodness of God. With all this is God. He wants us to do this. And we're going to have some fellowship. We're going to have some fun. And by the grace of God, we're praying, all of us, that out of it, God will be glorified in it. That's my heart.
Well, amen and amen. And I think you've already answered my last question in part, which is, pastor, evangelist, teacher, author, mentor, Peter Paris, how do you want to be remembered with so much life yet to live? Your thoughts?
Well, in a sense, I want to be forgotten. it's all about the Lord. Everything that I have, all of us, it's the gift of God. This is the sort of wonderful revelation to us that when Jesus said, without me, you could do nothing, thank God we're not without him. But he also said this, when you've done everything you should, you're still not profitable. So you're not adding anything. But what we can do, Jensine, it would appear from the scriptures, is we can grieve God as Christians, or we can please him. Mm. And we're not trying to buy his affection. He loved us while we were his enemies. How much more now we're his children? So it's not a matter of wanting to buy his affections. Jesus said, I do always do those things that please the Father. Paul had ambition. He said, our ambition is to please him. So it's not wrong to have ambition as long as it is to please the Lord. And so whatever happens, I want the Lord to be remembered, and I trust to be able to be instrumental somehow in conveying what God has been to me to others so that they may enjoy the Lord.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to internationally recognized pastor, evangelist, itinerant speaker, teacher, and author of his classic devotional read, Act Like a Man, the incomparable Peter Paris, whose life and life's work speaks volumes beyond the printed page, and whose 70 years of ministry, a godly example for us all. You can learn more about Pastor Paris's work, ministry, and mission by visiting peterparis.net and get his book at zulonpress.com. You will be exceedingly blessed, ignited, and inspired that you did. Pastor Paris, Peter, sir, it truly is an honor bringing your voice to testimony for such a time as this. And after all these years, wonderful memories, wonderful teaching, and still going strong, your classic read, Act Like a Man, is not just for men, but for women too, and all in the body of Christ who desire to, quote, fight the good fight and live this Christian life, not in defeat, but in overcoming victory, joy, and the power of the Holy Spirit you so beautifully display in your own life. Revelation 12:11 states, and I quote, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, end quote. You have done this, sir, and exceedingly so. We honor you, we thank you, and will always be eternally grateful to God for you. God bless you.
Thank you so much, Jensine. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Testimony is a global broadcast made possible by the generous contributions of our valued partners at Jensine Bard Ministries and you, our listening audience. Together, we are reaching souls for Christ, one testimony at a time. If you would like information on how you can support this broadcast with your tax-deductible gift, please visit us at jensinebard.com. That's one word, jensinebard.com. And join the conversation at our Facebook page, Testimony with Jensine Bard. Thank you for listening, and please join us again for Testimony.